the whole other side to this.
Right.
It's like Melissa Malice and Melissa Bates. I mean, I told you last time that...
You promised this will be short.
There's a great economy. Right. Right. There's a great economy from here on. Right?
Okay. So Atalia, we can look at the three things. Fanatically idolatrous. Now that we knew already. Exterminates all members of the house of David except Joash, who's finally slain by the order of Jehoiada. I spoke about her this past Shabbos, remember?
Yes. Those of us in this extra knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm so tired.
Natalia saw that Yehu had killed her son Ahaziah. Okay. Yehu becomes king just at the same time that she takes over. But Takam the Ta'abed is called Zera Hamalacha. She rose up to kill off every
seed.
Now why? How would she do such a thing? She's from both lines, right? She's the one that's under that's produced from that chuppah, G and H back up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wants to just a few words you can say. She wants to rule on the throne without any dispute. She wants anyone to claim the throne from her.
So the only
real plan may be to rule over both thrones.
The only way is to kill?
Still
today.
Yeah.
In those days?
Still today.
When you you want to be rid of a particular line of a dynasty, you kill everybody, or even at every age. That's what they do.
Tsar in Russia, after the Soviet, the communists took over.
Look what they do in your house, they kill each other.
One thing very interesting is that, we'll take you back to Shmuel Beis from 2 years ago. Remember in chapter 9, David looked for, he said, is there any other descendant of Jonathan, the only son who's still alive? I promised my good buddy and my brother-in-law that I would look after his children. Is there anyone still around? And he found that there was a crippled young child. Remember that? So the Ralbag asks in Shmuel Beis, how is it that David doesn't know that he has a nephew? This is his nephew, right? It's his wife's brother's son. Best friend's son. How does he not know? David's been king for years already. At least 10, 12 years already. All these years, you're not aware of the fact that you have a living nephew?
Hidden,
he was hidden. Right. Why is he hidden?
He was crippled.
He was crippled. So he was either he was hiding from the Plishtim, but by that time you don't have to be hiding from Plishtim. Why couldn't he just come and declare himself? Hi, David, uncle, I'm alive. Yeah. Here I am.
He was afraid that he might not be believed and
not
get killed.
He was afraid of getting killed, and erroneously so, because David sought him out. But apparently, he's afraid that David will kill him.
Yeah.
Why would David do such a thing?
Simple. He doesn't want David to claim the throne.
There were popular revolts in David's time to bring someone from Binyamin back to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
When you're from Yehuda, or anyone who's ruling whose father wasn't king, right?
He's always paranoid
that person from that other line is going to want to come and take my throne. Obviously, David does not feel this way, but Mephibosheth could not be blamed for thinking that David might feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So Mephibosheth wasn't even hiding. So from here, she wants to throw off all these descendants. If anyone's going too hot in here, just it's a little stuffy.
It's
okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with Basil. So you can take Hoshea Hosheva Bat Hamelach. Batikafi Hosheva Bat Hamelach
Yoram Achot Achavia Threw at Yoram Ben Achavia. Let's
Okay, so one of his, this would be his aunts.
Mm-hmm.
This would be his aunt. So she whisked him away at the age of one, together with a nursemaid, and she hid him so that he should not be killed by a tsar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, notice they're doing this. Such a sorry situation. He's the only one to be six. And he was for 6 years hidden there. Right? And he's growing. At seven, he has to be taught. He's not just a little infant. And all this time, he's hoping to survive. Okay, while Athaliah was ruling over Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what's supposed to happen in the seventh year. Continue. Lashanashi's fellow.
ובשנה השביעית שלח יהוידע ויקח את שרי המאות לקרי ולרצים ויבא אותם אליו בית השם ויכרות להם ברית וישבע אותם בבית השם ויער אותם את בן המלך.
So in
the
seventh year
יהוידע,
remember his coming. Okay. So he took all of the various warriors. Now, the queen controlled the army. So in order to make a revolt, you have to get some popular support on your side. And everyone's afraid of being killed in a popular revolt. You know, they don't want to be finding themselves on the wrong side, right? It took 6 years to get to this point. Right? And they made a deal. Okay? And took an oath to it, and this is what they said. Tavei memor, zeh adavar shetatzun, hashlishis mikem bo'i hashavos, v'shomer mishmeres beis hamelech. You see that the Shabbos is always a new mishmeres, a watch. Okay, every week there were different people who had a week's service to guard the palace. It wasn't like it wasn't made to a security company. You had your miluim, and you had to serve the Shabbos. So he said, when they change the guard, we're going to step in there, and we're going to have we'll be guarding. The ones who want to kill her will be here on the outside to let anyone who needs to get in. Okay, let's do Bob Richard.
The Hashlishi Spash.
You mean the third? Another third.
Bishaar sur, Bahashlishis, Bishaar achar haritzim, haratzim, Ushmartim, es mishmeres, habayis, masach.
Masach, okay, that's masach. It confounds the Mephoshim, but let's see. It says the third will make their way into the Shabbos guard. The third will get to the people who are on our side, will get to this particular gate called Shar Sur, right? And the third will go to the gate which they let in for the for the people who have to bring in food to the palace. People have to. There's always a security entrance. Every hospital has where you make the deliveries, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's every apartment building, every so the kingdom, the palace also has such a place. And if you recall, when the Rechab and Baana killed Ishbosheth back in Shmuel Beis, remember how they got in? They got in through the wheat selling entrance. Okay, they made themselves to be sellers of wheat, and Vizoy they made their way into the palace. And then once they got in, they dressed as women because it refers to them in feminine pronouns afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi says they dressed as women to get close to the king's door. Okay, so what is this? Mishmartim is mishmeres habayis masoch. Very unusual terminology. So masoch, according to Mephoshim, means everyone's mind will be off of any kind of
conflict,
a rebellion to kill the king, any kind of conflict. In the word Hesech Hadas, the Mitzudah says, if you look in the Mitzudah Siyam, Masoch, you see the vote?
Mm-hmm.
Page 321. Masoch, Miloshon Hesech, Hesech Hadas. Very simple. Rashi says, and that's what it means. The men. Okay.
Oh.
And she says that the mem is part of the shorish, actually. Because without this word, I would not have thought that mem is part of the shorish. I would have thought yud is part of the shorish. But mems don't usually fall out like that. Nuns fall out, but mems don't. Yuds fall out, lovs fall out. Anyway, so avais masoch means you will get into the house with no one minding you.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has a heschadas. What is a heschadas? The hastiach das means to not give mind to something. Right, not paying attention. So usually we say, if you have a heschadas while wearing tefillin, you have to make another bracha. Mm-hmm. If you're eating matzah, don't have a heschadas from the mitzvah, something like that. Okay. So that's the strategy of how to get into the palace. Ushtei ha'yados b'chem. Kol yosei ha'shabos v'shemur et nishmeret et Hashem ha'amalach. And then 2/3 of you, of those who go for the Shabbos gig, the whole elaborate plan is, let's say, 600 people. 200 people are going to be here, 200 people there, 200 people there. And of this 200, 2/3... we'll go do this, let's see. Shemuras Mishmeres Beis Hashem al HaMelech. They'll go to the guard of the near the Beis HaMikdash. They have to, if you want to make a popular uprising in the palace, the best place to start is by infiltrating the guards. Now, what's happening here, if you feel it, the Bible...
Was that permitted?
I mean, she is not actually acting within the realm of halacha, killing all those descendants.
No, but how did she get to that position to begin with? By force?
Yeah. Her mother, Izebel, for all practical purposes, was doing the same thing on the other side. So let's see in a moment what this Vikat from the Samelach means, because it's a woman, right? So, but the point is that the Bible is spending an inordinate amount of time right now telling us about the details of this coup. What do you think it's trying to tell us? Usually, the derech of the Bible would have been by Yikshiru Kesher. They made a pact.
Sure.
They two psukim.
Okay.
And they. But then they have to. Why are they giving us so much elaborate detail? No. The coup against her, they take over her kingdom and bring it back to a male heir of David. So why is the Tanakh being so painstakingly.
It must be trying to teach us something
very important, something significant.
Let's do it. Let's try to figure out what it might be. Perhaps to tell us that in order to do this, remember it's taking 6 years to do this. I think Israel wants to be ruled by a fanatically idolatrous woman who's killing off all male heirs of David.
It's amazing.
It doesn't make sense. So it shows that in order to defeat her, it took very elaborate plans. It wasn't just a haphazard popular revolt. This things got very bad then. And like many, many despotic rulers of this sort, it's very hard to you'd think, why would the Iraqis want to be ruled by Saddam Hussein?
They're helpless and they're miserable.
Right. It's corrupt.
That's
corruption.
That's how they say. And in order to justify their corruption, they have to make up. Perceived enemies from outside that I'm saving you from, right?
Yeah, that's how you unify people. You have to make up. That's the purpose we serve
in
history.
You know, North Korean populace. Very few athletes who have gotten in. As soon as you get into the airport, they take every cell phone, every phone, every communication device, computers, and take it from you. Very few people get in and out of North Korea. But they did manage to talk to some of the athletes. The athletes thought that there are 7 countries in the world. They get no news about everything else, and they think that they are phenomenally wealthier than everyone else in the world. Mm. That they're living in a paradise, and they're starving to death in North Korea. No medication, no food, no fresh food. And they're told by their leaders that they are phenomenally wealthier than everyone else, who's living in the streets, who are dying of the cold. So that's what they have to do. So she has obviously to say that on her horrific rule that it's so painstakingly difficult to get rid of her, is a sign that she was well aware of that kind of rule, and it took all this very complicated tale to get rid of it. Yikafti ma'a melech saviv. Now, when it says al-hamnelech, it's very interesting. You can't find any of the commentaries to discuss why it says yikaftim al-hamnelech.
Maybe because she's so tough, she acts like a man. She gets rid of anybody in her way. You'd never believe she was a woman.
Okay.
She had the strength of a man.
Okay. Yikaftim al-hamnelech saviv ish v'cheilov yedo v'haba el ha-sderos yumas. Okay. So he says that this is the way
to
surround her, right? If you come too close, there's so many people surrounding her because she knows, as does every leader of such a nation,
that someone wants to get them.
They know someone. Everyone, there's always someone who wants to kill them. Even though they may be afraid, there might be someone who can break in and get to kill them. So they always have in a very very tight inner circle, right? Remember I told you once that Saddam Hussein had days to go to someone in the middle of the night. You just killed Saddam Hussein. You're with us or against us?
Mm-hmm.
He constantly did that to the people who were closest to him. So she always also has, you know, people very the closest people are. If you get in there in the close ranks, you're dead. Okay. Tam Yomason says they wrote is like Siddarim, or like the inner ranks of her guards. In Israel, there were like streets called Sderot Tzvi. And that just means a row of houses. They call that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. V'hiyu es hamelach b'tzeiso uvo'ho. These people go out with the king. Now here, what it means is that in Israel, this is how they behave. They're in a circle. Now I have to be a queen, but that's how they travel. We have two sarei hameos. Pasuk says, "Kechol asher tzivo Yehoyada kohen, liku ishes anashav v'ayeh shabbos mitzeh shabbos v'hol Yehoyada kohen." Now there's one little problem here: is that if you want to bring in a different group of guards, what are you going to do with the regular guards who are coming in?
Yeah.
And you guys feel at war, all we can just say is that they actually infiltrated that group of guards coming in. Right? Those are the guards coming in.
Get in on the inside.
You know what I'm saying? Right? If you want to take some place, you got to do something with those people who are coming in. They're not going to just say, okay, you be the guards.
It's so applicable today, this whole thing. I mean, uncanny.
Vayitena Kohen, Pasuk Yud. Have you read the Pasuk Yud?
I think I did.
Nothing changes.
You can do another one.
Oh, it didn't work. Vayitain HaKohen Lesarei HaMeyos Es Achanis Ves HaShlatim Asher LaMelech David Asher Beveis HaShem.
And now, if I were to tell you, there's going to be, in the next 7 or 8 sukkahs, two things are going to happen. Natalia is going to be killed, and Yoash is going to be crowned. Which one is happening first?
I think Yoash is crowned because they say the king. I think they meant him.
Yes. In fact, now that we see the opposite order happening from what we would expect, that's exactly what's happening here. We have two inner circles going on. We have one inner circle of Atalia that has to be breached, and we have another inner circle to make sure that this inner circle is very much on our side, and that's the inner circle that's going to have to guard Yoash.
That's the king's son.
Mm-hmm. Now it's coming out.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So we have Yoratim Ishka Chilov Yedo Miketzef Abayis Haimonis, from the right hand corner of the house. Because they from the shoulder, the right shoulder of the house, to the left shoulder, left end of the house. The Mizbeach Labayis. And before the Mizbeach of Beis Mikdash and the house, the Chorim into Beis Mikdash here. Al HaMelech Saviv. And they walked all around. Now here the Melech is, it's no question we're going to see in a moment, is this little boy, this 7-year-old boy. Now you don't look for who's the best person to be king right now, you look for the descendants of David. Right? Mm-hmm. That's something that the people obviously feel is a good omen for our continued kingdom. I mean, once you start to have to argue over who's the best specimen for kingship, you'll have 100 different people arguing, and all the tribes saying, "Take it from my tribe," and it's not going to work. So they took out the Ben HaMelech. Now notice, Yoash is the son of Ahaziah, right?
Yeah.
Ahaziah is no bargain. Ahaziah was a terrible, terrible king, as was Yehoram before him. So Yoash is the son of Ahaziah. Things look very bad right now. That's what I started yesterday. It's a very terrible time in our history. Okay, so they took out the Ben HaMelech. Right now, that would be Yoash. Why do we have no names?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that important.
So
maybe it wasn't crowned yet.
Right, it's all in secrecy. All this is in secrecy.
That's a bush.
He might be disguised right now, but also we're not even mentioning his father either, because we don't like his father. And if you recall earlier, remember Beit HaMelech, they used to call it. They used to call the king not by his name but by some other revelation. Right?
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It's kind of like the inverse of Megillat Esther, because here we have like Hashem name in both, like every other pasuk, and yet we say HaMelech and we don't say any. Like it's sort of like the opposite of Megillat Esther, where we say
Megillat Esther is trying to tell what the excesses of kingship does, right?
And this is sort of like the king.
And here we're watching also some excesses between both kingdoms, right? And now we're trying to fix it, right? So Hashem is going to be in front and center in that, okay? And in doing so, to say, "See, it's Ben HaMelech, but Yitain Alav Es HaNezer." Nezer here means a crown, right? Nezer al Rosho, you say in his mirror. Mm-hmm. Or Rashi says it means a sacred Torah. I prefer a crown, and I believe that the word Nezer actually does mean the crown in Hebrew, right?
And the Nazarites come. Yeah.
So that's Ibn Ezra's opinion. Yeah. Ibn Ezra says that the word Nazir, the Nun, is part of the Shoresh. It means a crown. His long hair, but it's a crown on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Ibn Ezra is of the rabbinic opinion that appears in the Talmud that a Nazir is actually doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually positively rewarded and viewed, the Nazir. However, Rashi says that the word Nazir does not come from the word Nazir, our pasuk meaning the crown, and the Nun is not part of the Shoresh. And what does the word mean then?
Strange.
Lahazir. Okay. Right? Lahazir, v'hizartim b'nei Yisrael, meaning to separate. It became strange to the regular way of life that God wants us to have. He's estranged from human connection. Notice, I think this is an important mistake that Yitzchak made when he said his daughter should be holy. He sent her away to live in seclusion. Right? The Nazir, the Dafka, is not supposed to live in seclusion necessarily. He just refrains from wine and tumah. And haircuts, but he can certainly get married. And Shmuel was a Nazir, his mother said, no razors outside his head, and he got married, had children, and led the Jewish community. So Yiftach felt that if to make my daughter holy, I have to make her live in seclusion. It was a mistake on Yiftach's part.
Thank you.
Okay. So they took out the Nazir, the crown, and the Edut. Now this, I wouldn't have minded saying that's what Rashi means. The Edut is the sacred Torah. Right, from this week's parasha, it says, "Put in the aron the edut."
Yeah.
Mm. Right, testimony is, as she says, in the Torah. So why was it after? How do we know that? Because in the Torah, what does it say that the king should do all the time? What is the king supposed to do?
Deal with this.
Well, the king must know the Torah and write a super Torah.
Right. The Hisayim of the Karabo, he should have to hold it all the time with it. Right?
Close to
the Rishami says, yes, and it's close to him all the time. The Rishami says it's not loved up for the whole Torah, but maybe parts of the farm, or maybe just the Sarasa Jibros, some representation of the Torah. Okay, so that's the Edut. They crowned him king. And they poured oil over his head. They all clapped, and they said, long live the king. Now, this is the only king from Rehoboam who was anointed with oil.
Hmm.
Why? Just tell me why he's the only king, and then why him?
Because he's from David.
But no other king is anointed.
No other anointed.
No. The reason why there's no need to anoint Yehoshaphat is because when Asa died, he's the king. And this is the direct line. Everyone's the king.
Well, he's taken over by a coup, so they have to anoint him and make a public ceremony.
Yehoshaphat's father was king, but because of the break in the line to Atalia, and because there was such a disconnect to the violent disconnect with the kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Yehuda, therefore. He had to be anointed.
The British monarchy does this too. They anoint Queen Elizabeth was anointed when she was installed as queen.
Oh, with what? With
oil.
With oil?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah. If they have the whole ceremony in the, and like if you go to the Tower of London and you can see the whole ceremony and the crown jewels and everything. Yeah.
That's where you get beheaded too in the Tower.
Exactly. No, they have like
they have both. Videos of both.
Well, no, they don't have videos of both, but they have they have both aspects of.
We do everything.
Okay, now if Yoash is crowned king, this does not make Atalia a happy camper. She wants to kill them like she killed everyone else, right? Okay.
She doesn't want to lose her place either.
Now Atalia heard the sound of the running people, and she came to the people to the house of the Lord. And she saw, and behold, the king was standing on his stand as the custom was, and the officers and the trumpets before the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and sounding the trumpets. And Atalia rent her garments and called out, "Revolt, revolt."
It's a little different than her mother. Remember what her mother did when she saw the rebellion? What did she do, remember?
I mean,
it was Yehu approaching with his chariots and men were coming to her palace. And she looks out the window and she sees what couldn't be confused. I mean,
it was clear.
Yeah, but where did she go? Where did she run to do?
Shut the window?
She wants to put on makeup. You
know? Yeah.
Well, just find me like that.
Look at page 309.
Not very long ago.
I wish she doesn't remember.
That's why Italian was like a man. She didn't bother with that.
Yeah.
She was an
amateur.
Maybe that's
why
Italian
was. She adorned her head and
painted her eyes.
Maybe that has something to do with her being a priestess too.
Her eyes.
I mean, by the way she spoke to Yehu, it's very clear that she knows he's not coming there for anything good for her. Yeah, she says, you know. You're going to bury me, and I'm going to bury me with some makeup on.
Well, maybe she thought she'd give a last dish at using feminine wiles to keep her position. Have mercy on me, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And go out in glory, looking her belly down.
They couldn't help because all they had managed to bury of her, remember, was...
The hand.
The hand, right? Oh, chopped her all up.
Just the hands they left, is that
yeah.
it?
Well, yeah, because there was a midrash that like she did something good with
yeah.
her.
Yeah,
her
hair.
She, yeah, the castanets. Yeah. Yeah.
What
do
you think she played for?
She played for the bottom and the hands. Yeah. So only her, the bottom of her feet and her hands.
Very queen.
Okay.
So she does just the opposite.
Yeah. Okay, so... So she starts mending her clothes. She does not look so troubled. And she screams, kosher, kosher. The reason for the second word being kosher is because whenever an eh is at the end of a word, or it's not, but for that matter, in the middle of the word, at the end of a sentence, an eh becomes involved. You know the names of Noah's three sons? Shem,
Ham, and Japheth.
And Japheth, but really his name is Japheth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Japheth. The reason why everyone says Japheth, that's really a mistake. It's because it should be a segol, but because whenever he's mentioned, it's almost always at the end of a pasuk, because he's glad. It's always mentioned Japheth. Mm-hmm. And that's such a misnomer. Almost all the English translations read Japheth, J-A, J-E. His name is Japheth. Okay. The same is true, but the letter A. Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael Haba'im
Mitzrayma.
It should be Mitzrayim. There's no such country as Mitzrayim. But an A becomes an O. The reason for this grammatically, Sector the Mahana Dharma that points it out, the reason why this happens grammatically is because whenever you're at a part of a pasuk where you want to stop there for a little bit, which would be either a Sof Pasuk or an Esnachta, the grammar of the Bible elongates the vowel from a long vowel, a short vowel, to a long vowel. He says, I want you to stay here a little longer. We don't hear it with our ears, but if you would time it, it takes a few millionths of a second longer to say oh than to say eh. You can't, of course, we can't hear that, but oh, you know, the other here when you learn the grammar, the long vowel, the short vowel, okay? So we elongate the vowel. Okay. That's why it says kesher kosher, but it's really kesher kesher. When she said it, she said kesher kesher. But the Mesora, when you talk, that's why in every Sephardim, how does the Sephardi say the bracha over wine? They say
Geffen.
They
say
Geffen.
They say Geffen.
We say Guffin.
Prepare Guffin,
right?
And the Sephardim
say
Geffen. Don't they say
Oh, that's in the G, the point is that we're not saying a pasuk. This only happens in the Tanakh. It does not happen anywhere. It does not happen in modern Hebrew. It doesn't happen in spoken Hebrew. It doesn't happen only in Tanakh, in biblical Hebrew. So, Baruch Hashem, 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 is not a pasuk. It's not a pasuk. It's not a pasuk. It's a tefillah. Uh-huh. So the question is, in tefillah, do we do the same thing? Mm-hmm. So the people say Mashiach Ruchu Mina Goshem. Really, it's Mashiach HaGeshem. There's no Hebrew word called Goshem. The Hebrew word is Geshem. Right, so now most Tzidurim have it right. It's Geshem. Anyway. Vayisav Yehu Yodah HaKohen et Tzoriha Meos Pekudei Achayol Yomar Alehem Hotziv Osar Mibes L'Steros V'Habo Achareha Hameis Bechorev. Throw this woman out. And for that matter, anyone else who sides with her, they should die. Okay? Whoever wants to run after to protect her should die. To let her know that she has no one on her side. Mm-hmm. Why? Because unless they say that, some people might worry and say, oh, who's, you know, everyone wants to be on the side of the one who wins in the end, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be scared of which side to go to. So, I mean, it's the same when Adoniyahu, for instance, declared that the throne in the beginning of Malachim Aleph, right? Some people should have known better went to his side. So they thought he's going to be the next king. I don't want to find myself on the wrong side. Okay. I mean, that's always a problem. So in tomorrow's election, there are people running that we know well. There's a member of our shul who's running in tomorrow's election to fill this assembly.
Rosenthal?
No, Tom Weiss.
Has he got a chance?
Unfortunately, nobody in the Westmont and nobody in the Key West is eligible to vote.
It's outside.
What do you mean? Oh, because
it's the weirdest thing. It goes like Amsterdam, and then it it's like a weird cross section. Yeah. Like you think that it goes by zip code, but it's.
So is he good for the Jews?
So Tom
Weiss is a nice person.
Yeah. Can't win.
Ted Weiss's son.
Yeah. But the devil throws votes for someone who's crazy.
If you had.
I don't care if I will speak my mind. I don't care. I mean, I don't care if I'm in the majority. I'll feel good if I vote.
Yeah, so that's the question. Do you vote for the one that you like most and you think
I don't
you think it's going to win?
Of course
he doesn't vote for the one you like most.
You mean
the
one you're right.
Oh, you're right, right, right.
He would split the way
he
votes.
Oh, you're right. No, I've heard that. You're right.
He would take her vote. He's eating it.
You're right. It was like, you know what it was like? Wiener. It was like
on the ballot is going to get
it. It was like Wiener and Ferrer, like, if they really wanted a Democrat to beat Bloomberg, then they wouldn't have wanted the split.
He had too much money.
No.
He was willing to.
But I'm just saying, if you were a Democrat that really did not want Bloomberg, you would rather have, or something like that, like then you would have.
Anyway, the bottom line is this.
I mean, I like Mayor Bloomberg.
That one is this, that we see, for instance, in Shmuel Bay's Avner supporting Ishbosheth over David. Who in his right mind, with Avner's kind of power, would support Ishbosheth? And so is Ishbosheth is my family, his cousin. He's my compatriot. It could be also out of loyalty to Shaul that he supported Ishbosheth. But everyone in Israel knew that David was better. Everyone, even when Shaul was king, knew that David was better king material. But there's an idea of supporting the one you're close to. I think those who are a little older might remember when Jacob Javits ran against Al D'Amato and Elizabeth Holtzman.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, everyone thought that Javits and Holtzman were going to split the Jewish votes, and that's what got D'Amato in. And we were all worried at the time, I remember. But it turned out to be wrong place worry. Mm-hmm. D'Amato was one of the best senators for Jews certainly at the time. He was the only single senator who backed Israel bombing the reactor in Iraq.
And just Javits still alive?
Javits was what ran in that last election and he died right afterwards.
He died.
Okay. Why he ran was
running.
If he had not run, Elizabeth Holtzman would have won.
Really?
Yeah. Because the model one was very small. Yeah. So Jews voted some. I remember I was in the college at the time. And I remember Louis Bernstein, who was very politically connected, he said, all Jews should vote for Jacob Javits. If he's running, we should vote for him. He was so good to us, we have to return the favor. And that there has to be some kind of pragmatic approach to politics that says, all niceties aside, we should vote for the one who's going to do the best job for us.
Well, Javits, you know, he knew he was very sick. He made, it was an erring judgment.
It was his life, though.
But it was an erring judgment.
He did bad.
Yeah. He got his censor. It's okay.
Okay.
He's remembered now.
He has history.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I go there sometimes. Especially the audio show that's on.
Also, Yaveh is a very...
From Tzfas?
It's
his ancestors came from Tzfas?
Tzfat.
Tzfat. I mean, that's true.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. So, what I say this is because everyone starts to take sides. Well, who's gonna get in there? So you have to be very careful with your pragmatism on this. Okay. Anyway, so he says whoever follows her is going to die. Just be sure that there's nothing in it for you for following her. Okay. And they said, "Ki Amara Kohen Al Tumas Beis Hashem." We don't want to kill anyone in the house of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they'll come after her outside. You're going to get it. Okay. Now this next pasuk is actually a very important word here. By Yisimu Lo Yodayim. Yisimu Lo Yodayim. So Rashi says, "Makom." Targum says, "Bashaviu Lo Asra." Asra Makom. They made a place for her. I'm going to try to do something else with these words. Mm-hmm. She went to the place where the horses, like the garage, the parking lot, whatever it is, okay? And that's where they killed her. Okay, and then the yesterday's Shabbos Haftar begins, Mamash, with the next pasuk. Just an unceremonious killing. It says, Ve'yasimu lo yodayim. I think that both Rashi and the English translation and Targum, you'll excuse me for saying, I think possibly missed the mark on the real essential point of this pasuk. And I've used two or three proofs in Tanakh for this. For one, in Shmuel Beis, when Avshalom saw that he was gone, because Tophel didn't follow. He didn't follow Achitophel's advice. He saw that the end was coming. Right? Remember what he constructed that some say you can still see in Yerushalayim to this day? Remember what it's called? It's this big structure that's circular at the bottom. And it goes up like this, and then it goes straight up the top like that.
It's supposed to be Avshalom's tomb.
Yeah, remember what it's called? Yeah.
Tomb.
There's a name for it.
That I don't know.
But it's not called Avshalom's tomb.
Is it really his tomb? Is it buried in there?
It's questionable and debatable, but I think in the Shmuel Bay, I don't know if they
have they remember the
picture of it in the back.
They gave a name for it.
There's a plaque on the outside that says the name of it. Okay, I'll give you the second proof. The second proof is the structure today in Yerushalayim that was built. That was built in memory of the Kedoshim Hashoah.
He came from Egypt.
That was built in memory of the Kedoshim Hashoah, and you all know what that's called, right?
Yad Vashem.
Now I want to tell you why it's called that. It's called Yad Vashem.
Oh.
Why do we call it? It's called Yad Avshalom. The name of the Avshalom's tomb is called Yad Avshalom. Yad certainly means a hand.
Does it mean helpful, like Yad Sarah?
Yes, something like that. It means for the help for what particular thing? My taina is a memorial. Uh-huh. A Yad means a memorial.
Like Yad Vashem was today.
Now Yad Vashem actually comes from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says, if you have no children, I'm going to give you a Yad Vashem. Tov mibanim u mibanot. I'll give you a memorial better than that. So I think when it says v'esimu lo yadayim, it means that they saw that she was going to die and they started putting up memorials because they thought that after she dies, no one's going to care.
What if it was a psychological ploy to remind her of what happened to her mother's remains?
That's amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm. Certainly an interesting irony about that. Yeah.
About the hands.
Because that's all remained of her mother. So she had the tug in front of her and she's looking down at them. She's going to be psychologically...
Okay. Very interesting. Okay. All right. So, by Yisroel Yehoyada, it's written, "Vein Hashem, Vein Hamelach, Vein Ha'am, Liyos La'am Hashem, Vein Hamelach, Vein Ha'am." So, Yehoyada, this is how they say that the Gemara says that he was a Kohen. Right? He made a covenant between God, between the king, between the people. Right. Now, so this is Yehoyada, right? It's a name you already know from earlier in Malachim. Yahu ben Yehoyada, the point of Shlomo. So,
Yehoyada wasn't the king, he was the high priest. He was the priest.
So Yoash now is king, and he is high priest Yehoyada, regent during king's infancy. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The A with the hands of the B says he was a pious king, strength and Torah observance.
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
He prepared the temple.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that all these kings, why do they turn to idolatry? Even if they're like Yehoyada, if he was
the fashion,
so pious during his whole, why all of a sudden, it's like when they cast away the Meisel Plot, why?
What happened to the baby boomers who were liberals and now are ultra-conservative?
People do change, but idolatry was such a strong pull at that time. And we don't, you know what, the question, and I deal with this in my Yirmiyahu class, every generation has its idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We call it a znus, so to say. Not znus in the terms of...
Right, but like a corruption. Right.
But a znus, a corruption that has a great appeal. Like the Gemara says, Yodim ha Yisrael she'in mamish babel b'zor. The Jews at the time of the Bible knew that these are rocks and stones. Elul ha-hatirim gilui arayos b'far hesya. The znus was real znus. The temples were real places of actual znus, not just for the eyes, but for the participation. Right? So that would bring people into the temples, and while you go in for the pleasure of the physical pleasure of attending such a service, let's learn more about Kemosh. Let's learn more about you know. Look, to many many people in the public eye today, Kabbalah is a type of Gnosis, right? Kabbalah, anything more than a Gnosis from Adam, I mean, there's Gnosis in some kind of theology that gives me my satiation. Communism was a Gnosis, we say. You know, so the question is, you know, when Hashem tells B'nai Israel, when I kick you out of my house, like he tells them, Hoshea tells them, Yahu tells them, don't go and marry someone else. Because if you marry someone else, I can't take you back. There's a law like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So the prophets actually use that halachic imagery. So, and it's interesting, and the halachic point is interesting, because we know there's a law in the Torah that, let's say Reuven is married to Rachel, right? And they get divorced. Then Rachel marries Shimon, right? And then Shimon dies. She can never marry Reuven anymore, right? Because once a woman is married to someone else, she can't go back to the person.
Right.
Okay. However, if she was with many men afterwards, but didn't marry any of them, she can go back to the ring. It's marriage, kiddushin. Puts the ring on the finger, he hasn't touched her yet, she's already prohibited to the first husband, because it's the commitment that makes her prohibited, not the same as nus.
So what if
she can have nus without any commitment?
So what if a woman marries a goy after they marry somebody? Is that like
a kiddushin? No, yeah.
Oh, so it's not.
She would not be prohibited to the first husband.
Interesting.
Okay. So that's the point. Is that Hashem tells you after I send you into exile, I know you're going to get involved in a lot of this communism, socialism, this is and that is. Jews are always at the forefront. That's why we have such inordinate. Numbers in the ashrams and all these places all around the world, in Arab Saba,
in Nepal. The entire hierarchy in this country is of Jewish
origin.
But those in the ashrams are secular. You don't find fun people there.
I know.
So
I'm
therefore,
why
do you have to look over there? That's the sadness of it.
Reb Shlomo used to go all over and find
fun. Okay, so let's finish the paragraph. So this would mean we asked about the appeal of Reb Zara. So this king is not the sort of good, but isn't it also
kind
of
good?
Okay. Okay. Vayavo kol am ha'aretz beis ha'baal.
Vayavo kol am ha'aretz beis ha'baal.
Okay, so there's this man named Matan. There you go. You shouldn't name the child Ebed, he's a wicked man. Matan is the name of the Kohen Gadol of the Baal. And they killed him. So that's really basically C in this picture. They got rid of the Abu Zara. Rid of all the worshippers of Baal. But this pasuk is very instructive. It shows that the Baal worship that was so common in the northern kingdom, on the right side of your chart, made its way into the left side of the chart. You see it? Not just Egel worship. I'm talking Baal worship. Remember we talked about the difference between the two. Egel worship is that something represents Baal worship. It's real hardcore, but it's art. You test?
Vayikach et sarei hameot et hakarid et haratzim et kol am haaret vayiridu et hamelach v'beit Hashem v'yivau derech sha'ar haratzim v'beit hamelach v'yishay
Okay, so until now this has to be done secretly, but now we can publicly pronounce him king, bring him down with great ceremony. Remember, all these men, look how many leaders there are, different types of warriors, and they're bringing down this 7-year-old kid. You know, it's really a very unusual kind of situation, but and not too dissimilar, I might say, to the way Shlomo was crowned king. All right, Shlomo was also crowned king in some degree of secrecy in Yerucham Aleph. Because Adoniyahu was still alive, and there might have been still been a popular revolt about crowning Shlomo. Shlomo was crowned king while his father was still alive. David died a commoner. Okay. Okay. Let's finish the parak. Tava. 20.
Then all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city cried out, and Acharya said, dispatched by the sword in the royal palace.
Dispatched? Dispatched?
Dispatched.
It's Hemisu, my goodness. What's the English fetching around?
Well, yes.
Hemisu Lachayev, and then they
dispatched the sword.
She was originally patched up, and they dispatched
her. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So they killed her.
They did it with dispatch, though.
It sounds like they talked to her.
Maybe
it means she wasn't given a proper burial. They just sent her off.
Yeah.
A person was born hatched.
Well, no, I thought they did give her a burial.
And dispatched.
like Yadayim.
Thank you.
Hatch is.
Hatch. Well, no, because it also says they made a place for her in English.
Well, no, Mrs. Munder just said something cute. A person is hatched, they're born, then they're potched, or hatched, and then they're dispatched.
Hatched, and dispatched.
All right, so notice that everyone was happy with this, right? It was like the story in Purim, everyone. But that's just one side of a philological note. Look at the Targum to the word Shakata. Shakata. It's not kol am, the chadi kol amo, but the chadi means to be happy, the whole nation. Amo aret, ama da ara. Vikarta shidokas, the ear Shakata. You see what word I'm concentrating on? Yeah, the word shidduch is not a Yiddish word, it's an Aramaic word.
Really?
People say shidduch, make a shidduch for someone. It's not Yiddish.
I thought it was
Yiddish.
Actually, it was Hebrew.
It's not Yiddish.
Not
Hebrew? The word shindal chav is not a shorosh that appears in the Bible.
Huh?
It appears in Targum.
Okay.
So notice that because what a shidduch is supposed to do is to bring menuchas hanefesh. But tishko to oretz arbeim shana also shidduch atara. That's what when Naomi tells Ruth, let me find someone for you to marry. She tells her, menucha isha.
There's a footnote here about Nicanor, and I read in Agada in Hebrew about Nicanor who came from Egypt. And the
order will
kick off a door of Brooklyn. Do you know that?
Sure.
Okay, and so we were debating whether he was Jewish or not, because it doesn't say that he was taxed, it says he gave it as a gift.
Maybe.
So I was under the impression that he was Borowitz? Egyptian, but here it says
to Egypt. He's Yeti Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Mamelstein family? From Nerushev? Of course, they live across the street from me. The Mamelsteins from Nerushev? Who, Avi or Adam?
Avi is married to
my son. We are now going to cook.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Mamelstein.
The sister of the one that you taught in class.
Although they're planning on moving.
They're trying
to sell their house.
And moving where? To Riverdale?
I don't know where they want to move. I think
to
Queens or one of them.
It is a big house.
Queens,
where would they go to
graduate?
I don't know. Somewhere that they're planning on moving.
Where
does
the other
fellow
live?
I don't know. I've really lost touch with them. Johnny was the one who was my, close to my age. The daughter who's not married. They have a daughter.
She had this restaurant here, remember?
Yes, I know. They have a treasure. But she, I think she sold off her partnership.
Yeah, she did. I couldn't figure out why she was going to give it. Kelly's.
Thank you.
That, you know, we work in a way that so that you know.
Right, music goes
down. Brain freeze.
Right.